This is a special edition of Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Alan Toussaint died overnight after performing Monday in Madrid. He was 77 years old. Toussaint entertained millions, but in many ways, he was a reluctant performer. He preferred his life behind the scenes, in the studio, writing, producing, and arranging songs. A disciple of Professor Longhair, Toussaint seemed to understand what New Orleans music could do for the world. Today, on this edition of Music Inside Out, we'll share excerpts from some of our past conversations with Toussaint. He never turned us down, but then he was generous with nearly everyone. Just ask any of the artists he worked with. He loved giving them exactly what they needed to be at their best. Portions of the following interview with Alan Toussaint first ran on Music Inside Out in 2012. What are you looking for? Do you look for the person to match the song to match the person? How do you do it?
Song to match the person. And far as I'm concerned, it all starts from who they are. And of course, who they are is not necessarily one thing. Sometimes who they are is who they would like to be.
Yes.
And that's not so bad. And sometimes who they are is not who they really are, but who they think they are. But I always think that it's my, I should find the suit that brings out the best of their features. I would like to present something to them that highlights their spirit as well as the vocal itself, because they're delivering their spirit when they're singing. And I'd like to give them something that they can do believably. The song is totally secondary. Everything is about the person. And whatever musicians I put behind them and the atmosphere that I set up is to make them, to put them in an atmosphere where they can be most creative and feel wonderful about themselves and deliver that. And I would hope that they'd even be happy with it. That's what I, as a producer, that's my thought all the time.
It's true. And there are so many stories of artists with whom you've worked who, once they've received that attention from you, or from anyone, I mean, that's a very personalized attention. You know, someone who is writing a song with you in mind, with your voice in mind, your character, and all. And once they've received that attention, they're drunk on it. They can't wait to get back into the studio with you again.
Yeah, good.
So I'm thinking about Lee Dorsey, for instance. Lee Dorsey, for you, he had all the time in the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes. We were a wonderful marriage. He totally trusted me.
Oh, well, I'm sitting here, la la, waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, I'm sitting here, la la, waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, it may sound funny, but I don't believe she's coming.
Lived on a permanent high just all the time. If he'd beat you, he'd meet you on that high and insist that you come and join him up there. He trusted me all the way, and for even when to sing, when not to, whatever moments or whatever I gave him to do. And there was no limit to what we could do together. And we did loads and loads of things. Had a great time.
I can't eat, I can't sleep,
since you walked out on me. Yeah. Holy cow, what you doing, child?
Well, we spent a lot of time out of the studio. We raced Cadillacs together and drove motorcycles together. And, we did lots of things. We hang out at the Dewdrop together.
Night people, hanging out, looking at each other, waiting for something to happen. Night people, hanging out, looking at each other.
Everything I do gonna be funky.
But when I think about everything I do gonna funky. Be funky, I think that that's Lee Dorsey talking, definitely. But I also hear you talking.
Yes.
You know, because it's almost like a statement of who you are. And I'm not a musician, so this is my way of looking at you. If it's an Alan Toussaint song, there's a wiggle, wiggle, waggle in it. There's something that's gonna make you wanna wiggle, wiggle again, and then you're gonna waggle.
Okay, okay. I'll take all that.
Now, there are musicologists, I believe, who might have better terms for this. But do you get, I mean, does that ring at all true to you in the sense of there's something that you do that inspires movement?
I don't know, but if it is, I'm glad it is. And I remember when we were doing Everything I Do Gonna Be Funky from now on, I was contemplating doing a lot of funky things on Lee Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
So we sent him right there. And the engineer who we left his slate, because they slate the recording, the engineer says what song it's gonna be. Time after time, take one. And the way this engineer said, he was in charge. He said, "Everything I do gonna be funky." I said, "Good heavens, we're on the right track."
Yeah, everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Yeah,
everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Never before have I felt so just a being natural me. Mine are hang up and mine are ties, but deep inside I'm free. So let your hair down and get down with it. Who's to say what's right or wrong? Everything I do gonna be funky from now on. Yeah,
everything I do gonna be funky. Everything I do gonna be funky from now on. Yeah.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Alan Toussaint also worked closely with Irma Thomas, The Meters, The Band, Paul McCartney, Robert Palmer, Paul Simon, Elvis Costello, and many, many others. Toussaint was a largely self-taught piano player who played a wide variety of musical styles, including classical.
Well, when I first got started on the piano as a very young child, and I began to, well, I was hearing the radio mostly, and I start picking out little simple melodies that I heard on the radio. And everything I heard a piano playing on the radio, I thought I'd better get to work and learn that. So along with all of the hillbilly music I was hearing and all, when I heard all of that, I had to learn that. And I had to learn the boogie woogie. I certainly had to learn some polkas and some waltz. I remember my mother bought an Emerson record player, and during those days they gave you two albums to lanyap, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was a classical album, and one was a big band album with Benny Goodman and people like that, Artie Shaw and all of them. And this classical album had Grieg's Piano Concerto and a lot of things like that. Better get to work. So I went behind the classics, and though we come from such a humble neighborhood back in Greytown, and poor as Job's turkey, my mother thought she was pretty ritzy. So on Sundays, I would hear a lot of classical music off. She'd play the radio, and I'd hear these operas and classical symphonies all day long. And I just thought that that was wonderful, and this must be... this is godliness. This must be right next door to God.
In 2009, Alan Toussaint released an album of jazz standards called Bright Mississippi, collaborating with producer Joe Henry.
Joe Henry, I must say, he was the one who chose those songs in particular. And I'm so glad he did, because a couple of them I had never heard before.
Like what?
Well, I had never heard West End Blues before.
I don't believe you.
Truly. Also, Old Southland, I hadn't heard that. Also, Singing the Blues, I hadn't heard that. And I never did like St. James Infirmary. Now I love it.
Well,
it's one of my favorite songs in life.
I mean, I would never have known that had, I mean, just
yes.
listening to it, because you, I was
yes.
just going to name that song. You
yes.
know, I don't suppose you mind playing a little bit of it for us?
I don't mind at all, because I love it these days.
So aside from the beauty of the melody, what turned you on that song, particularly on the lyrics?
The melodic line, the way it goes, it's a very beautiful melody, and the chord changes are wonderful. I didn't give it a chance before. But I think when I first heard it many years ago, even I think early on, maybe in the childhood days, and I heard went down in front and saw my baby lying there, I just didn't want to hear anymore. But I've grown up now.
May I ask you, I'm going to ask you just a couple personal questions. And if you don't want to answer, it's up, you know, perfectly fine. One being, I would like to ask you about your feet. You are the only person I know of who wears sandals almost every day.
Oh, yeah, for over 40 years, for longer than that, yeah.
How did you make it in the military where you were not wearing sandals? Because you were drafted, right, in the
60s? Yeah, 63 to 65. I wore the boots when I had to. And it was not easy because I didn't choose the sandals. They really chose me. If I would wear socks and shoes, like normal color socks and shoes, if I'd wear them for today, tonight, my foot would have little blisters on them. And if I wore them for a couple of days, it would be blisters on too many blisters. And that's a yucky feeling.
Yes.
So that's why the sandals, they became what they are. And I wear them with socks because I guess it's nicer, but I wear them without socks as well. But I usually put on socks for other people.
It's an eccentricity that is oftentimes associated with genius. Not sandals, but the fact that there's like this one thing about you that is consistent, that you do in all company, and it works for you. And then also, I had heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I had heard that you're a trampolinist.
Oh, yeah, I love the trampoline. And as a child, I was an acrobat. I used to love flipping and handstanding, walking on the hand. I just thought that was extraordinary. For one thing, everyone could do it. Everyone was playing ball, but only a couple of us was doing this. So I thought it was kind of special, but it was always a wonderful feeling to be in the air for a moment.
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, and on a trampoline, you're pretty high out of the air. You're not touching planet Earth, or you're not gone for good either. I dearly love the trampoline. Dearly, dearly love the feeling of those Bahrainis and a double back somersault and a three-quarter forward and hit just right and get the proper bounce back, because it's a series of events. It's not just a thing. It's how you hit in, whether you're going to come up properly and all. And after a while, you get a feel for it like anything else, and you get your roll on. Yes.
You could be describing the creative process. I mean, take out the trampoline, and you're describing the creative process.
Okay. Thank you.
Isn't that something? The fact that idea that you're creating, that you're the momentum that it takes to lift.
Mm-hmm.
People and yourself above.
And to suspend
and do something beautiful and graceful in the air.
Yeah. You find out the trampoline, your head is the heaviest thing on your body. For if anything goes wrong, it's usually because of what your head did. And when things go right, it's usually because of what your head did. That's just a little tidbit. That's neither here nor there.
was Alan Toussaint speaking in 2012. Toussaint died overnight in Madrid. You've been listening to a special edition of Music Inside Out on WWNO. Tune into our regular show, where we will talk more about Alan Toussaint on Thursday evening at 7 and Saturday at noon. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.